I'm Karen Given, filling in for Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, an annual cross-country skiing event brings artificial snowflakes and big bucks to a down-on-its-luck Maine mill town. But first, perhaps you've heard this one before. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player who ever lived, was cut by his high school coach. Except he wasn't. He was put on the JV team as a sophomore, where he thrived. Thomas Lake writes about what he calls, quote, the most famous roster decision in high school basketball history, end quote, for this week's Sports Illustrated. And he joins me from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. Thomas, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start here. Michael Jordan was not cut from his Laney High team in Wilmington, North Carolina. Or was he?
I guess it's a matter of semantics. He says he was cut. Many other people have repeated the story over the years. But the fact is, he was in 10th grade at the time. There were combined tryouts for the varsity and the junior varsity team. It was extremely rare for a 10th grader to make varsity. And ultimately, Jordan made the JV team, just like most other 10th graders, with one exception, his friend Leroy Smith, a name that Jordan would then mention again and again over the next few decades as a person who inspired him to get better and better, because he could never forget that Leroy Smith had made varsity when he didn't.
Leroy Smith is, of course, another big part of the myth. He did make the high school varsity team as a sophomore. Here's Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie, portraying Smith in a viral marketing campaign for Nike.
After I beat out MJ for the last spot on our varsity team, he went on to become the greatest basketball player of all time.
Coincidence? No way!
So the fictional Leroy Smith also calls himself the world's most influential influence on Michael Jordan ever. Was he?
You know, that's not that far off. I mean, it was clear that Jordan was incredibly motivated by this incident, that he came back with this sort of incredible fury at those JV games. He would score 40 and 50 points. He learned how to become a superstar that year, and when he came back the next year in his junior year and did play on varsity for the same coach, there was no stopping him.
It all worked out fine for Jordan, as we all know. He's a six-time NBA champion, two-time Olympic gold medal winner, and a member of the NBA Hall of Fame. Things didn't turn out quite so well for the coach who cut him, Pop Herring. Where is he today?
Coach Herring lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. It has been almost 30 years since he coached basketball. He's mentally ill. He walks around the streets. He can be seen most often in a neighborhood called Brooklyn. And he's subsisting on government checks.
And he wasn't terribly easy to find, was he?
No. For years, he had been living with various relatives who provided sort of a shield around him. But then most of them died. And now he's living with an adopted brother and some other people. He and some friends spend most days under a big oak tree sitting at a picnic table, drinking and smoking.
Pop Herring's most successful season came 2 years after Michael Jordan's tenure as the star of his varsity squad ended. But soon after that, the then 31-year-old ran into trouble. What happened?
Apparently, he had a long family history of mental illness. And in his early 30s, it came upon him. He began acting paranoid. He thought people were going through his stuff. People were out to get him. The school administrators told him, hey, you should take some time off. You should get some psychiatric help. He thought this was further evidence of persecution. It got worse and worse. And finally, the school let him go. And he was never able to coach again. He eventually lost his wife and daughter. They moved away because he wouldn't get help like they wanted him to, and he quickly became alone.
Pop's mother and sister had already died in 1994 when Jordan retired for the first time, and the Bulls brought Herring to the United Center for a tribute to their star. This was how Pop was introduced to the crowd of 20,000 and the 2 million viewers on TNT.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Laney High School in Wilmington, North Carolina, Coach Clifton Herring and Coach Ron Coley. Please stand up and acknowledge the fact that you cut this man in high school.
Yeah.
This sort of thing didn't cause Pop's mental illness, of course, but it certainly couldn't have helped.
No, of course not. I mean, here's a guy who's already predisposed to thinking that people are out to get him, and then to have something like this happen from a player who's meant so much to you. Pop wasn't smiling or laughing. You know, to him it was a serious thing, and he didn't appreciate being portrayed that way.
Your article speaks to the 31 years of goodwill Pop built up before calling in favors during the last 28 years of his mental decline. Do you get the sense that Pop feels like his most famous and wealthy player has done enough to answer that call?
He really talked around that, and that happens a lot. He kind of talks in circles, so I could never be certain how he feels about Jordan now. In general, he does seem to believe that people who were his closest friends before he got sick could have done more to help him afterwards. On the other hand, because Pop knows he has a tendency to blow all his cash as soon as he gets it, this guy Leroy Grady has a great system where he takes Pop's checks and then goes and sees him every other day and hands him the cash. And that way, it lasts throughout the month, whereas otherwise it would just be gone in a couple of days.
Why was it so important to Michael Jordan to encourage the myth that he had been slighted?
I guess you'd have to ask him that. But if I had to guess, I mean, I don't know. I would say that it's sort of an inspiring story, isn't it? I mean, we've all had a moment like that in our lives where people didn't think we were good enough and we had to prove them wrong.
Thomas Lake is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. His article, Did This Man Really Cut Michael Jordan?, appears in the January 16th issue. You can also find it on our website, onlyagame.org. Thomas, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Karen.